Alright, what we're going to do for Parshas Vayera is we're going to ask an absolute ton of questions. We're going to ask a ton of questions. We're going to go through this whole Parsha. There is very, very little, as usual, that makes sense about the beginning part of the Parsha. We're going to try to go through the Akedah. If we have time, I will tell you guys over a little bit. Next week, we're going to go through what really happened in the Akedah. This is going to be like the fake Akedah, like what came, like what we tell over to our parents at the Shabbos table and everything. Next week will be what really happened in the Akedah. That will be the massive amounts. But let's start off with this. First question. Hashem is appearing to him in the trees of Mamre. He is sitting at the opening of his tent in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw three people standing on him. As we know, those are the three malachim. Question. He's talking with God. He's in the middle of a nevuah. Avraham Avinu is not like Moshe Rabbeinu. He cannot talk face to face to God just like a regular two people can. The only way he can talk to God is if he's in the midst of a dream or in the middle of a type of nevuah where he cannot be in a physical world. He has to speak to him in a spiritual world. How in the world did he see three people walking by? But the three malachim dressed up as people, as we know. How in the world could he have seen three people walk by? Digest the question. Digest it. How could this possibly be? Okay. The answer is the following. I'm going to give you three different answers to this question. It's going to go in three different parts of this year. The first answer is like this. The Moshe of the Kingdom says the following. You know what this test was? It was a test. But what's the test? I invite somebody. Moshe, you want to come over for Friday night?
Nope.
Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. And now, I invited him over. I have him over for dinner. And he goes and he eats by my house for Shabbos. I passed the test of Achras Zorchim. Why is that a test? It's test number 5 of Avraham Avinu. How is this a test? Of course he's going to be able to have, if three people walk by, of course he's going to invite them in. He's going to say, come in. What's the test? You know what the test was? God appeared to him. At that moment that God appeared to him, when Hashem came down and Hashem brought down his Shekhinah to him, three people walked by. Now Avraham Avinu had a choice. Hashem just appeared to him, and probably what Hashem is going to say to him is, wow, you just got the bris milah, I'm going to tell you that you're going to have a kid within the year. He's going to give him a crazy bracha, something that he never had before. He's going to say something crazy to him that he never heard. And yet still, as the Shekhinah is about to appear to him, he's going to have to fall asleep in order to have the nevuah. As it's about to happen, he sees the three people walk by. Now he has a choice. Is he going to go to sleep and go speak to God? Or is he going to say, forget about God, I'm going to deal with those three people over there? That was the test. And he passed the test by saying, God, hold on a second, I got three guests, I got to take care of them first. They're going to go away, you're not. Stay here, and I'm going to go take care of them first. So he goes ahead. As soon as he does that, God said,
Bravo. No, it's
Bravo.
Not.
The test was, no. Does Hachnasas Orchim come place? Does that take place before the Shechina? Does that Hachnasas Orchim come place before the Shechina or not? The answer is yes! We paskin that if you have a choice between Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina or Hachnasas Orchim, you go with Hachnasas Orchim. It's a Pella, but we do paskin that way. And if that's so, Avraham Avinu passed the test. He got it. Everything was good. Bravo. He passed his test. That's number one. Number two. What's Mamre? Elanei Mamre. So Rashi says Mamre. Who should not allow eight salamila? Give him advice on the bris milah. If he can migul of the chelko, therefore we appear to him in his chelak. He gave him advice on the milah. Avraham Avinu went to Mamre. Aner Eshkol Mamre. He had these three crazy friends. Aner Eshkol Mamre. You know who these guys were? Aner Eshkol Mamre. Like he just had three random friends. He's like, hey, there's Aner. There's Eshkol. There's another guy. Who are these guys? Aner. Switch around the letters. Nun Ayin Resh, which is Nar, right? Who is the original Nar? The original Nar. We spoke about him 2 weeks ago, and he went up straight to Shemayim. Chanoch is the Nar. Chanoch le Nar al Pidarko. Chanoch became a Nar al Pidarko by doing the things that he does within this world. Chanoch became a Nar. Chanoch's Neshama, even though we know he became a Tat, the Archangel Matat, he later on became down. He came back down, and he came into the form of Aner. Aner was a Gilgal of Chanoch. That's who he was. Eshkol, who's he? Eliezer. Eliezer Eved Avram. I don't know why he's named Eshkol. Nobody explains why. But he's known as Eliezer Eved Avram. Mamre, who's Mamre? So Mamre is a pretty crazy person. He's Yosef. He will be Yosef Atzadik. Mm-hmm. He's also known as the son of Bilam. I don't know what the connection is to that one either. He's called Mamre ben Bilam.
Wasn't
but regardless,
Yosef also Rabbi Akiva?
That's much, much later. But yes, 100%, Akiva ben Yosef. Akiva's going to, don't worry, we'll get to Neshamas. Guys, the soul thing will come in. Don't worry, we'll get the soul train. It's coming in soon. We'll get it all done. Don't worry. But the fact is, these are anarchical babies. These are not just stomp people. These are huge, huge Neshamas of Yosef, Eliezer, and Chanoch. And by the way, all three of them are known as Nars. Yosef is known as a Nar. He used to play with his hair. Chanoch Lenar al Pidarko. Chanoch is called a Nar. As well as Eliezer was the Nar who was sent by Avraham Avinu to go out to search for everything for him. All three of them are Nars. These guys were friends with Avraham Avinu. And he asked them. He went up to them and said, guys, should I do the bris milah or not? Now, come on. How could he ask them whether you should do the bris milah or not? Of course you do the bris milah. God comes up to you. Paul, I want you to mutilate yourself. You're not going to say, like, no, God. No, thank you. I don't feel like it. Well, of course you're going to say yes. What did he ask them? Why in the world would he possibly say no? So you know why? Got a bunch of answers. What is your answer?
Well, he asked what he should do before God commanded.
Very good. That is an answer from the Mizrahi. That he asked before God commanded, or should he do it only after God commanded? That's number one. Number two. He went up to each one of them, and he expected all of them to say no. It's ridiculous. How could he do such a thing? And then, what would he say? I'm doing it anyway. And he'd be able to do it. You know, it's crazy. The Maskil David says, he didn't have a Yetzer Hara. There was no such thing as a Yetzer Hara by Avraham Avinu. He couldn't think of a reason why not to give himself a bris milah. He's sitting there and he's like, could I not give myself a bris milah? Why wouldn't I? So he went up to Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, and he's like, why shouldn't I give myself a bris milah? They're like, you're an old man. You're an old man. Forget about the stupid bris milah. You're 99 years old. You might kill yourself. Another person told him, that all your enemies are going to chase after you. They're going to kill you. You're not going to be able to do anything. Another guy came up and told him, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Mamre comes by and says, God told you to do it. Shut up and do it. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let him appear in the field of Mamre. Mamre is mentioned in the Torah specifically over here because he gave him the advice to go ahead and do it anyway. But is a much better answer. The much better answer is the Tzedek L'Derech. It's mentioned in Medrash. I just found the Medrash this year. It's quoted by the Rabbeinu Ephraim as well. He gave a bris milah to Aner. Aner died. He gave a bris milah to Eshkol. Eshkol died. He's about to give a bris milah to Mamre. Mamre's like, whoa. Hold on a second. I'm all good. Hold on. The pasuk says, Hamol Yimol. The one who gets a bris milah should give a bris milah. Give yourself a bris milah first, and then give me a bris milah. Because otherwise, I'm going to die. Avram said, oh, good shot. We don't paskin this way. It's funny. We don't paskin this way. But Mamre gave him that advice, and therefore, he didn't die when he got the bris milah. Avram Avinu had to have a little bit of help. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to help him. He went ahead and did it. And then afterward, Mamre came along and said, oh, that's me. He gave him the advice over here. But the Gra says an awesome shot. Avraham Avinu is all about what? What does Avraham Avinu do? Chesed. It's all about chesed, right? It's all about chesed. So I'm bringing these people in and bringing everybody inside and everything. Don't worry about that. But he brings everybody inside. He brings all these people in and he's like, machnis oreach, and he tells them, guys, make brachos. There's one God and everything. You want to be like me? They'll say, yeah. All right, take a knife. Get yourselves ready. All right, look the other way. Like, what? That's crazy. Like, all of a sudden, somebody becomes a dentist, you know? Like, all right, guys, just sit down on the chair, relax, sit back, you know, just stick the drill inside his mouth, now you're a Jew. Everything's all good. And so, he said, just very simply put, wait a second. If I do this, everybody's going to say, I don't want to be a Jew. How's he going to be able to be Makariv people and make them into Gerim if every time he tells them, you want to be a Jew? You have to cut yourself. You have to give yourself a massive cut and make yourself bleed. That's the way you have to do it. Everybody's going to say, wait a second, so that means that God believes in self-sacrifice? You should sacrifice yourself? You should sacrifice your kids? No. He doesn't believe in any of that. But bleed yourself. Make yourself bleed. Just in the beginning. What does that mean? Well, really, you should only do it when you're an eight-day-old boy. What? My 8-day-old boy? You're going to make me do that to him? How can I do such a thing? He said, what am I supposed to tell people? Aner and Eshkol said, I don't know. I have no idea. Mamre came along, says the Gra, and said to him, you know what you can tell them? There's a good reason why. Because what's the only reason why we don't want to listen to God? What's the only reason? But you sit there and you're like, you know what? I don't feel like doing a mitzvah today. You wake up in the morning and you're just like, I don't want to go to midyan. Why? It's a hara because you have a taiva. You have a desire to sleep more. You have a desire to eat something at Chas HaShalom and not kosher restaurant across the street, kitty corner from the yeshiva. You want to eat at some place that's like ridiculous. You want to do something that you know you are not allowed to do. Why? You have a taiva. You have this crazy desire. This crazy desire that sticks inside you and says, you know what? I want you to go ahead and do this then. So what Avram said, what Mamre said was, you know what the pshat behind a bris milah is? The Rambam holds, Mamre knew the Rambam, right? Obviously. But Mamre said, you know what the pshat is? The Rambam says the reason why Actually, now that I think about it, the Rambam in Mamre is only off by one in Gematria, so it works out really well. But Rambam says that the reason why you do a bris milah, is because why? Because you knock down your taivas. It gets rid of your taivas. It destroys the taivas. True story, my father happened to have been, he works a lot with NCSY kids. A kid came up to him and said to him that I'm having crazy problems with like crazy desires, crazy taivas. Like, I've never had this before, but all of a sudden, ever since I became from, like, these crazy taivas have just started coming into my head, and I don't know what this is. Like, I'm trying to be a good Jew and everything, but I'm having these crazy taivas. What's wrong with me? So my father told him, and this is just, my father's not like a Kobo or anything like that. It's not like he went to like Rapinta or anything, you know, and said to him, what do I do? And Rapinta's like, oh, you have a mezuzah that's wrong in that house. You know, nothing like that. He said to him, you know, did you ever check up? Did you ever have a bris milah? And he said, yeah, of course. I was circumcised. So he said, did you have a reputable mole? Was your mole a good, you know, was it a real mole? And he said, you know, I have absolutely no idea who the mole was. He said, get yourself checked out. Check it out. Go see if, you know, if you have a real bris milah.
So he went.
I can't tell you. But I didn't ask him. I don't know why that question would have came up in conversation either. Like, was his name Jack? Like, I don't, he got himself checked out by a real mole, and he found out he didn't have a real bris milah. He was circumcised. He had part of it, but he didn't have a real bris milah. So he went ahead and he had the real bris milah. And I don't know if it's a psychological thing or whatever it is, you know, but it ended up happening that everything was fine. That he didn't have, you could say that it's a psychological sort of thing. And the fact is, everything was perfectly fine. And he was able to get rid of those taivas. Because the pshat is, you're going to get rid of taivas. So the Gros said, you know what Avram's going to tell people? The Mamre told him, you know what you can tell people? You can tell people, I'm not saying that you should hurt yourself. What you should do is get rid of your taivas. How do you do that? By knocking off a little part of that part of the body. By doing that, you will get rid of your taiva. The taiva will be gone, and then things will be okay. I guarantee you things will be okay. That's the time that you should get.
Connected to the bris.
It's right around that area. We can explain it a little bit more, but that's going to get a little bit in detail and graphic, and that's no reason for that.
Do it.
Why what? Why would he think what?
No, I'm saying, like, why would your dad think that he can have a bris? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, why would he think never to have the bris?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the first thing that he said before, that he thought that he could give a bris to himself without the tzivoy of Hashem. Mamre told him, no, do it anyway.
He said, dad, think
he
could
connect
the bris.
Okay, I hear you. Okay, that's it for now. Who were these three malachim? Guys, I'm going to tell you a shot right now. That's going to blow your socks off. And it could be, like, some guy is going to be like, oh, my sock! I have absolutely no idea. And, like, all of a sudden that might happen. But who are these three malachim? Everybody knows Michal, Gabriel, Raphael, right? Everybody knows Michal, Gabriel, Raphael. Everybody knows that. And they say a whole gematria, Shlosha, Noshen, is a gematria of Elu, Gabriel, Raphael, Michal. That's what they say. They say all these gematrias and everything. Okay. Here we go. There's a problem. There's a fourth malach. We know there are four malachim that are up there in the Kisei HaKavod. There's Gabriel, Michal, Raphael, and Uriel. Uriel is the fourth one. That's why Gabriel, Michal, Raphael, and Uriel is Gimel for Gabriel. Michal is Mem. Raphael is Reish. Aleph is Uriel. That's Gemara. Gimel, Mem, Reish, Aleph. It's Gemara that we learn. It's all based on them. And there's a whole shot as to why that's so. But either way, that's Gabriel, Michal, Raphael, Uriel. What happened to Uriel? Where'd he go? Like, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I've got nothing for you. Uriel, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to stay with me. Do you have a deck of cards or something? Maybe we could play. You know, there's nothing else to do. Well, why not send down Uriel and let him do something else? What was the point in keeping Uriel out of there? So the answer. Uriel came down later. Because this happened again where a malach came down and told somebody that you're going to have a kid. When did this happen? Who was told you're going to have a kid?
Hagar.
Not only Hagar. Hagar was, but that was before.
Zara.
Eshes Manoach, the mother of Shimshon.
Yeah, I remember that.
I got $5 in my pocket for anybody who can tell me the wife of Eshes Manoach, the wife's name. Eshes Manoach.
Oh, God, it's a Gemara in somewhere.
Okay, anyway, it's a Gemara. Okay, now you can't get it anymore.
Oh, yeah,
but it's a Boba Basha, Sadi Aleph on the Bait, Sadi Aleph on an Aleph. Anyway. Slav Pony. Anyway, Slav Pony. Anyway, Eshes Manoach. Who went to Ashes Manoach and told her that she was going to have a baby? Uriel was the one that Uriel came down and told her this. Now, hold on. There's a Yalku Uveni. There's Yalku Uveni, and here's the crazy part. Yalku Uveni says, Uriel, I'll have something later. Yalku Uveni says that it was not Michal, Gavriel, and Uriel. It was Uriel, Gavriel, and Rafal. Michal did not come down. Michal stayed upstairs in Shemayim because he was the one in charge of everybody else. Uriel stayed with Gavriel and Rafal. He went down. Uriel, Gavriel, and Rafal, he's the one that came down. What happened? There's a lot going on over here. Vayisa Aina Vayar. He lifted up his eyes and he saw. Vine Shlosha Anashim Yitzav and Love. Three men were standing there. Vayar. And he saw Vayar to cross them. Hold on a second. We got two Vayars over here. What's the two Vayars for?
Two different eyes.
Somebody is standing in front of the somebody is standing in the tent of Avram Avinu. The Satan. Why is the Satan there? Sam is sitting in that tent. Why is he there? Because he knows that everybody got a bris mila in Avram Avinu's tent. He needs to grab a hold of somebody in Avram Avinu's tent. He's got to get some way of getting into Avram's tent. So what he does is, he waits to see if anybody says, oh, I wish I never would have gotten that bris mila. If anybody says that, he was going to grab onto them and say, you're going to be my guy. You're going to be my inside man in Avram Avinu's tent. Because right now with the bris mila, they're all out of his possession. He can't get near anyone. He can't even go into the tent. But once somebody says, oh man, I wish I never would have had this, then all of a sudden the Satan will have an achiza. He'll be able to get a hold of Avram Avinu and be inside his tent. So the Satan's standing out there waiting for someone to say, I wish I never would have gotten the bris mila. Standing out there. All of a sudden, Vayar, Vayisa Eina Vayar. Who saw? This is the Satan. The Sam saw, Vinei Shlosha Anashim Yitzavim Alav. The three Malachim came down first to knock him out and told the Sam, get the heck out of here. We don't want you here in this place. Get out of here. We don't want you here. Vayar, Vayar, it's across from his Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu saw those Malachim kicking out the Satan, and he ran after them to go greet them to say, hey, how you guys doing? Because he didn't know that the Satan was there. What happened? Listen to this. How did Uriel mess up later on? He messed up later on. Oh, we're going to explain this. What happened? The Satan is sitting there, and he said he knew that Uriel had a suffix. He didn't know who to be mevaser this news to, that they were going to have a child. Should I tell Avram Avinu or Sari Avinu? Avram Avinu already knows he's going to have a kid. He was already promised. Should I tell Sari Avinu? But I can't talk straight to a woman. How could I do such a thing? So the Malach had a suffix in his mind. What am I supposed to do? Should I talk directly to Avram Avinu? Should I talk to Sarah? Said the Satan as he was going through. Put the thought into Uriel's mind. Don't ask me how this is possible. I have no idea. But he put the thought into Uriel's mind and he said, Uriel, tell it to Sarah. Tell it to Sarah. As the Satan's being kicked out, tell it to Sari Menu. Tell it to Sari. You'll see. Tell it to Sari Menu. Tell it over to Sari Menu. We'll explain in a second. Tell it to Sari Menu. And then the Mela Avram will hear. You could even face Sari Menu and say it as if you're saying to Avram. But make sure that the news is said to Sarah because Avram already heard it. The new news is supposed to go to Sari Menu, not to Avram again. Do that. Uri and Michal was up there. Uriel is the one that came down. According to the second shot that Uriel and Gabriel and Rafal came down. Hold on. You got to listen to go. Hold on. Let me finish. Uriel comes down. He goes ahead. And he thinks to himself, he thinks it's his own thought, but it's really the Satan that put it inside his head. And he decides to be Mavaser Sara Imenu. Because of that, he was punished. Why? Because Sara Imenu was a female, as we all know. And when you tell a female, a woman, that she's going to have a child, apparently what happens is that the child is born from the side of the woman. Now, men are midas chesed. Women are midas adin. I can explain that in many ways, but it's not time nor the place to do that. Men are midas chesed. Women are midas adin. Children are known as rachamim. But that's midas chesed, midas adin. As soon as he told Sari Menu that she was going to have a child, instead of the child being a child of Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu is the midah of chesed. Instead of the child being another child of chesed, he told Sari Menu, therefore the child is going to be a child of
Din.
What was Yitzchak's midah?
Din.
What's the pshat? He went ahead and told Sarah that you're going to have a child. Thus, the Satan was able to get a child that was going to be pure midas adin. This pure midas adin means when you do something bad, you immediately get punished. If you do something good, you immediately get rewarded. So he said to himself, if Yitzchak sins once, I'll be able to grab him. I'll be able to get him to do one chait, and then I'll be able to grab him. And if he does one thing wrong, he's going to be immediately punished because it's pure midas adin that's being put down inside this world. Because I made Uriel tell it over to Sarah. Thus, the kid is going to be Sarah's kid. It's going to be a midas adin kid, and the kid can never do anything wrong. What are the odds that this kid is never going to do anything wrong? There's no way it's going to happen. So he said to Satan, it's going to work perfectly. And he got the kid to be born midas adin. And thus we know that Avram was total opposite. opposite. Yitzchak was total opposite Midas Adin. He was completely Midas Adin. Now, what ended up happening was the Akedah. Why do we have this Akedah at the end of the Parsha? You have to Shecht Yitzchak. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand the Sultan came up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said he really wouldn't do this, etc. And he would, they needed to test Avraham Avinu. But come on! Doing this? You want to sacrifice your kid? Why would he do such a thing? You know what Pshat is? Because Yitzchak is pure Midas Adin. For 37 years of his life, he wasn't able to have a child because he's pure Midas Adin. He can't waste a second. He can't ever waste 1 second that's not in total Torah learning. He's not allowed to. He's Midas Adin. And he can't have a kid. He can't get married. Nothing. He can't do anything that it might be even questionably wrong. So comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, time to Shecht Midas Adin. To take down that Midas Adin, to take Yitzchak and be machnia him under Avraham Avinu, who is Chesed. To have Chesed to rule over the din. Take Yitzchak, take Midas Adin, tie him up on top of the Akedah, on top of the rock, and take your knife and be ready to shecht him and say, Midas Adin, you better listen to everything that I have to say. And thus by a combination of Chesed and din, what do you get? Rachamim. And thus the kid of Yitzchak that's born can be a kid of pure Rachamim. Thus the whole point, the Satan thinks he's doing something crazy and Uriel's being tricked and everything, comes along and Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, oh, I'm going to nail him for this one. And he goes in and gets Yitzchak to be pure Midas Adin. And that's why Yitzchak could be a perfect Ola. If he was born on Midas Chesed, then what would he have done? He would have been like Avraham Avinu, convincing people about monotheism, going out in the world, and Efsher, he would have done a chait. But if he's Midas Adin, he can only spend his time in the base medrash. He can't do anything else. Thus, because he's a perfect person, only he can be a perfect korban. And he could be the Ola. Otherwise, we never would have had an Ola. Because how could he sacrifice a person? He has sins. Yitzchak had no sins. It's perfect. It would have been perfect. Since it comes along, that's exactly what the Satan thinks he's tricking on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, oh, I got you, Satan. I got him. He nailed him. And then, in the end, Uriel's punished, right? Uriel's punished. He's not allowed to go back up to Shemayim because he did this. He's not allowed to go back up to Shemayim until he's Mevaser later on to Eshes Manoach. Because what was his punishment? You told the wife and not the husband. Thus you made Yitzchak born and Midas Adin, and that's harder for him. So you know what your punishment is? Your punishment is later on, you're right, it's not his fault, but he is punished for that as in the level of a Malach. Your punishment is that later on you're going to tell somebody else that they're going to have a child. Who are you going to tell?
Man.
Eshes Manoach. Eshes Manoach was Roy for the Nebuah. Not like Sarah. Eshes Manoach was Roy for the Nebuah. Why? Because you need her child to be pure Midas Adin. Because what was Shimshon's whole purpose in life? To kill all the Plishtim. The Plishtim are known as who? The people that are known as the Arelin. The people without the Bris Milah. What was the Satan doing standing on the outside of Avraham Avinu's tent? Waiting for them to say, I wish I never would have had the Bris Milah. So because of everything that Satan did in the first place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it all back and says, you know what's going to happen in the end? Uriel's going to bring about Shimshon. And Shimshon's going to come, Satan, and destroy your entire people. And knock them all out, get rid of their orlas. They're all gone, buddy. You're going to go down. He knocked them down. And that's why Gavriel and Rafal also were messed up by the Sultan. They said, Mashchisam anachnu. We are destroyers. We are destroyers. When really they should have said, Hashem is going to destroy Sodom. How could they say, Mashchisam anachnu, we're going to do it? You're not going to do it, guys. Hashem's going to do it. How could he say that? Because the Sultan got them down. That little tiny bit of gaiva. And because of that gaiva, they ended up messing up and saying, Mashchisam anachnu. Their punishment was to stay in the world for less time. Because Uriel not only messed over himself, he messed over Yitzchak. Gavriel and Rafal messed over only themselves and nobody else. So they stayed until Yaakov Avinu had the dream and saw Malachim Olim V'Yordimbo. The Malachim that were Olim was Michal and Gabriel. Gabriel and Rafal, who said Mashklisim Anachnu. They went up the ladder, back to Shemayim for the first time ever. And Malachim, new Malachim came down. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Gabriel and Rafal, welcome back to the Ma'aser Merkava. You guys are welcome back. Now, you want to hear the craziest shot? You want to see this in the Pasuk itself? You see in Perek Chav Beis, by the Akedah itself, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Zion. Listen to this Pasuk. If you're not shocked by this Pasuk, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. I hate to say it this way, but there's no way. Like, if you read this, the Torah is not a play. The Torah is not a play. It's not like Act 1. Avram says, Yitzchak says, It's not like that. So listen to what it says over here. Vayomer Yitzchak Avram Aviv. Yitzchak says to Avram his father, Vayomer, and he said, Avi? Dad? Vayomer, and he said, Hineni bini, here I am, my son. Vayomer, Hinea ish va'itzim va'yasel ola. Here's the fire in the wood, where's the sheep for the ola? Dad? Yeah? I have a question. Okay, ask it. What in the world? Why is that in the Torah? Why in the world are we saying? Like, why is that here? It shouldn't be here. You're going to see it repeats itself. There's one of the places where it happens. But there's no reason for it. More dramatic. The Torah is not a story, but it's not an act. It's not act one, play one. Avram, I am here. And then the dramatic answer. And Yitzchak with the whole thing. I have a question for you, Dad. With a little tears coming down from his eye. And saying like, Dad, I'm not going to be the Corbin, am I? This is not an act. This is not a play. What's it doing here? You know what the shot is? What? He did not know yet. This is the first time where he realized. And Avram said back to him, Elohim yira lo aseh la'ola b'ni. Hashem will show us the Ola, my son. My son. Because you know what the shot is? Vayomer Avi. He said, Dad, Avram, what's your midah? Chesed, you're shechting me? How in the world are you going to shecht me? Says the Arizal. I don't have too many vorts from the Arizal. I think I have two. This is like one of the only vorts of the Arizal I have. Says, you're the midah of chesed. How in the world can you shecht me? That's totally against chesed. He said, Avi, this is my father? Where are you? Where's chesed? So what did he say? Avram answered back, Hineni b'ni. Behold, I am my son. I have to become Yitzchak. I have to be Midas Adin. Because in order to pass a test, Yitzchak, sometimes you have to go against your natural abilities. My natural ability is to be kind. If I want to pass this test, nobody's going to give me a kind thing to do. That's not what they're going to give me to do. They're going to make me do something against my nature. So I have to become Midas Adin. I have to become my son in order to pass this test. So he started off that way. So Yitzchak said, wait a second. And then he went down with the whole thing. But that's the shot. Avi, Hineni Bini. No, I'm not my father. I'm not Avram Avinu anymore. I have to be Yitzchak. I have to be Midas Adin. That's the shot over here. Later on, you know where this comes up again? Todos, my friends. And where is it? Oh, this is unbelievable. He says, he said, Chaf Dalet. Pasuk Chaf, the Perek of Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. We'll see this. He says, Vayomer, Yaakov said, Ata Zeh Bini? Are you... Oh, wait. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. Hold on. I got to find it. Because I didn't look this up. I'm sorry, guys. Oh, here we go. Vayavol Aviv, Pasuk Yud Ches. And Perechav Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayavol Aviv, Yaakov came to his father. This is where Yaakov lies to Yitzchak, his father. Vayomer, Avi. And he said, Dad. Vayomer, Hineni. Here I am, Yitzchak says. Mi ato b'ni. Who are you, my son? Listen to this. What's Yaakov Avinu about to do?
Steal, bro.
What's his midah? MS. What does he say? Vayovo Aviv. Yaakov came to his father. Vayomer Avi. Yitzchak is Midas Adin. He said, Midas Adin, you're going to have to judge me right now. Judge me favorably. Dan Lachav Schos. You have to be Dan Lachav Schos what I'm about to do. You have to understand that I'm doing this because Rivka Yimenu gave me the tzivu. He gave me the command that I have to do this. Trust me that this is a good thing. Vayomer Hineni. I am here. I will try to be Dan Lachav Schos. Miato Beni. Are you going to be my son? Are you going to be Midas MS? Are you going to be the Midah of truth and only say the MS? Or are you going to lie to me? What are you going to do? We're going to get to that a little bit later. But he knew. And the exact same board. This is the only two times where it has such a thing. Or another dramatic sort of a thing. And he lies. He has to. We'll see why. There are six reasons why. But there are reasons why you have to do it. But that's what happens over there. All right, guys. Very quickly, we'll say two quick things.
Hineni many times.
All right, go on. It says
like four times.
I mean, that's true. That is. But Hineni usually is a lashon of anivus. But it doesn't say Hineni b'ni. It doesn't say in that type of a way. Now, how do you, we all know the three Malachim, we dealt with that, right? Quick question. How do you know they were Arabs? How do you know they were Arabs? He thought they were Aravim.
Maybe they look like Arabs.
No. There is such a thing. They're not Yishmaelim. He thought they were Aravim. Question. Because what?
They're nomads.
They're nomads. So therefore, he thought they were Aravim automatically. Question. What language were they speaking?
Hebrew.
If they were speaking Hebrew, it was after Migdal Bavel. The only people who knew Hebrew was Avram Avinu and the people of his house. If he didn't recognize them, they spoke Hebrew. Isn't that a dead giveaway, their Malachim?
Also...
So what were they speaking? If they weren't speaking Hebrew, then why would he think they're Aravim?
He said they were speaking.
What?
He said they were speaking.
They did say, when they said, Vayomer kein ta'aseh kasher dibarta. Go do exactly what you just said. So it seems like they spoke. about Rami sleep there. There's a whole big thing. There's a Gemara that says that he spoke in Aramis, that he spoke in Aramean. That is true. But Arami is still very different from Hebrew. You know what the pshat is? There's an Ibn Ezra that says, whenever you have a suffix in a word Ivrit, what the word is in Hebrew, look at the Arabic language, and the Arabic language will be able to tell you. Aravi is very similar to Ivrit. So the Tiferes Yonason says, you know how he knew they were Arabim? Because they were speaking Lashon HaKodesh. Said Avraham, you know, how do they know Lashon HaKodesh? Must be. They're not speaking Lashon HaKodesh. They're speaking the language that's closest to it. What's the language closest to it? Aravi. So must be their Arabs. Sure. So then he goes ahead and he washes their feet. Why does he wash? Why does he wash their feet? Why does he wash their feet? Because why?
Wait.
What?
What
language they can't speak?
Who?
Aramaic, not Arabic.
Malachim? Malachim can speak any language they want. They do not listen to tefillos that are said in any tefillah aside from Hebrew. They can say any language. And we have a raya from Yosef, that Yosef was taught all 70 languages from Gavriel. So that means that all the Malachim understood the 70 languages, especially Gavriel did. It's just that they don't want to understand any of the languages. They prefer not to hear anything. So quick question, why do they have to wash their feet? Because of what? Because of Avodah Zarah. Because the Avodah Zarah that's going to be there. Not because they're dirty, because they had Avodah Zarah. Who worships the dust of their feet? Have you ever heard a guy like
Arabs?
My gosh, that's my God. Nobody worships that. Why in the world? They don't worship the God of their feet. They worship Allah. They worship their God up above, which is really a kind of sparkle. Why in the world would you worship the dust of your feet?
Between Arabs and Muslims.
That is. Do you ever see scientists when they say, like, the world is millions of years old? Why? Because there's dinosaur bones that you can find inside the ground, and then you can use geology, and clearly the ground is millions, maybe even billions of years old. Hundreds of millions of years old. They look at the ground, and they prove from the ground that there is no God. They prove from the ground that there is no God. These guys were the exact same way. They looked at the ground, and they saw certain things. They said, come on, this has got to be older than Adam. It's just got to be before the Mabel. The Mabel was only 300 years ago.
The Mabel is years biblical. Ago,
there are always people around. Even though Noah and Shem and Noah wasn't around at the time, but Shem and Aver, and they were all around. And you could have just asked them, Shem, were you really on the table? You'd be like, yeah. They could have done that, but nobody does that. Because people are lazy. Because you don't want to gather them all together. And even if he hears it, he'll be like, he's lying. I don't care. And I don't want to have to go through the entire world asking everybody. These guys were lazy guys. They just said, look, there's dirt under the ground. There's dirt over here. This dirt looks like it's from years earlier. I don't know. They didn't do carbon dating testing, but they did something to realize that there's something from before. It says Mizrahi, they said, this is our God. Our God is not the God up above. Our God is the world. The world has always been and always will be. Nothing has ever changed in this world. Nothing will ever change over here, but there's a second shot. You know, the shot is not just the dust. The dust of their feet. Why don't you believe in God? Because you have gaiva. You feel like, I do everything. I did everything myself. I'm the one who made up this shear. I'm the one who did something like this. I did this. I did that. Right? Because you have such gaiva. Because God doesn't help me. It's me. I did everything. To that, you believe in the dust of your own feet. Wherever you walk, that's what you believe in. You believe in the places where you walk, the places where you are. That's what gaiva is. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But that's what these guys were. Some people do such a thing, and Avraham Avinu knew that, and therefore had to wash the dust off their feet to say, you guys are nothing. God is number one. God does everything for you. You do nothing without Him. Absolutely nothing without Him. And the last question that we're going to go into is, this is going to be a fun one, guys. How come you didn't know there were Malachim? Because Malachim don't have shadows. So why didn't you just look at
Maybe
them and say, look at them, they don't have any shadows.
It was very sunny.
It was noon.
It was very sunny?
Prove
it. Kechom Ayom, it was high noon. Kechom Ayom, it was exactly at noon. So because of that, there's no shadows anyway. So Malcolm came to him exactly at midday. They came to him, and they stood there at midday. There's no shadows. So therefore, we looked at them and said, well, I don't know if they're Malachim or not. But wait a second, that's a major problem. So everybody asked, Tiferes Yonason asks, you're not allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to a person at night. Why? Because it could be a shade. This halacha doesn't apply nowadays, obviously. But he could be a demon. He could possibly be a demon. Well, that's a major issue. Wait a second. If that's so you're not allowed to say Hashem's name to a demon. You can't give Hashem's Shalom to a demon. So you can't do that to a demon. You can't do it to a shade. So the question is, wait a second. Right now, he's looking at three people that are standing in the middle of the road. Maybe they're demons. After all, it's hot as anything out here. Maybe it's Shadim. Shadim can move around during the day. Shadim do not have to move around only at night. It's not something that's totally off. Shadim are, they feel more comfortable at night. Yeah. But it is true, in a desert, Shadim are allowed to go wherever they want. They're known as Shadim as the Sada. They sit in fields and sit in open places. They're allowed to be in the field. And Haraya, it's boiling hot outside. A human being wouldn't be here. It must be, it's a shade. Why would he ever assume that it's a Malach? It must be, it's a shade. And he can't see a shadow, so you're not allowed to say hello to them. So how in the world did he not even say hello to them, but he bowed down to them? But he bowed down to them. How can he bow down to them? Maybe they're Shadim.
He was too excited to do the mitzvah.
Chicken friends. Somebody said, he bowed down to the ground and looked to see his feet. Do you have chicken feet? No, they didn't. But I don't know if demons really have chicken feet. But here's the real answer. Kedusha, Chof Tesema Beis. You guys have definitely heard this story before. Everybody's heard this Maisa, this Medrash. Abaye had a demon in his base Medrash. A seven-headed demon in his base Medrash. He wanted to get rid of it. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was coming into town because his son wasn't Matzliach in learning. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov came into town. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov comes along and he sits in the base Medrash for that night. Nobody invited him over to sleep. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is sitting in the base Medrash and all of a sudden, the seven-headed demon appears. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov bows seven times and knocks off each one of their heads. Each one of the seven times knocked off one of the seven heads. So the pshat is, oh, hold on. He bowed down seven times and he knocked off each one of their heads. So too, Avami, the Pasha pshat over here, is that he bowed down. And as soon as he bowed down and he saw that their heads were still on, he realized they're not shaden. So it must be that they're okay, so it's perfectly fine. That's what Yishtach warns up. Hold on a second, this gets crazier. So like what you just said, what's your name? Yonatan? Yonatan just said, the Marsha says, you know why seven times? You know why seven times? Because the pshat is that he was davening Shemon Esrei. How many bows do you do in Shemon Esrei? Two in the beginning, two by Modin, and three at the very end. So it's seven altogether. So seven things he davened Shemon Esrei and he's able to knock off the demon. Remember the question we asked all the way in the beginning? The question all the way in the beginning was, wait a second, if he was talking to God, how in the world could he stop and see Malachim in front of him? How could he see these three people in front of him?
At the end, two in front.
Two in the beginning.
And two in Modin.
Two in Modim, three at the very end by Yosef Shalom.
Two in Modim.
Two in Modim. And Baruch Atah Hashem, Atoshim Kolach, on all of those. Two and three. Hold on, he's still davening Shemona Esrei. He's still davening Shemona Esrei. He still had something. Yeah, but that's not a kasha, because he for sure had something. But he had the seven bows. So here we go. So what happened over here? Hold on. This is what Rachav Bar Yaakov. Rachav Bar Yaakov had this. No, he davened right here. The first time that we have a proof for it is later on by Yashkam Avram Bavoker, but that's something else different. But either way, he had the seven Modims. Now, what happened over here? We had the question before and we said, wait a second, how could he have seen the three malachim, the three guys over here? He's in the middle of a nevuah. If you're in the middle of a nevuah, you would never do it. You know why? Because he was in the middle of his Shemon Esrei. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him as he was davening Shemon Esrei. We know that Avraham Avinu's tefillah is what? Shacharis. In the middle of his Shacharis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him. And therefore he stayed davening Shemon Esrei. What?
Good question.
What? Hold on. He stayed with his Shacharis because HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him in the middle of his Shemon Esrei until the last possible time that he can daven Shacharis. When is the last time that you may daven Shacharis? Chatzos Yom. At Chatzos Yom, he knew he had to end it. As he was ending, what do you do when you end your Shemon Esrei? You look back and you walk back three times. What he did was he looked back and he saw the three malachim. That's when he concentrated. He took himself away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looked back to see if anybody was behind him, and he saw the three people standing there. But he didn't know if they were shadim. So he said, what am I supposed to do? He's going to stop his Shemon Esrei right there and run after them to make sure they didn't run away. But then he said, wait a second, maybe they're shadim. I don't see a shadow. So what he did was, he continued and said, Oseh Shalom Bimromov, Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, Ve'al Kol Amo Yisrael Bimromein, three bows for the three malachim that were there. And when their heads didn't come off, he realized the real, that they must not be shadim. Therefore, it's okay for me to talk to them. He finished Shemon Esrei and ran over there and went to say hello. Wow. That's the shot behind that. All right, guys, we're going to end with that. Have a good Shabbos.